friends. It's another edition of Bikescape. Number 5. Last week we went to Critical Mass and we had a wonderful in-your-face raucous time out there in the streets on our bikes, taking over public space and acting wild and having a great time. And this week we're going to do something quite different. We're not going to even mention bikes very much. We're going to get all geeky on your asses and we're going to talk about the fall of the Central Freeway here in San Francisco. We went on a tour and the emergence of the Octavia Boulevard in its place. There's going to be this great new community arising from the rubble of a big, elevated, double-decker, smog-spewing freeway. And it's just going to be wonderful, and we're looking forward to it. And we went for a tour. We were taken on a tour by Tom Radulovich of Transportation for Livable Cities and a former member of the BART board here, Transportation Board, and Robin Levitt, who pretty much single-handedly brought down the freeway from the political point he was the political leader that collected the 18,000 signatures that were needed and led the campaign and was tireless and fanatical. I didn't think he could do it, but he did, and I was once again proven wrong that the impossible sometimes is possible. They led us on a tour up and down on a beautiful Sunday afternoon. It was sunny. People were complaining about how hot it was in early March. And that only happens in sunny California here. And they took us on this wonderful tour. And we got to see the inside story of how it all came to be and what's going to be happening and what the promise is. And it was a real education from some really great people. So listen now. Here's the beginning of the tour. It's 30 minutes long. I'll have a good listen. Let's turn it up.
You have to walk SF brochures. If you're interested in becoming a member, it's $25. You can also join on our website. These are actually our newsletters right now, and there's a lot of interesting stuff in this. We're doing our next walk on April 24th. It's Green Streets of the Mission. It meets at 18th and Dolores at Dolores Park. And we're doing a lot of great things. We have a sidewalk committee. We have all sorts of committees that we're trying to form, and we need your help. So we want to thank TLC for co-sponsoring today, too.
Yeah, great.
But thanks, Rich. I'm Tom Radulovich. I am Executive Director of Transportation for a Livable City. We're walking, that's building up bicycling, bike coalitions, another partner group, building up public transit ridership, and trying to reclaim these other functions of streets. We've been living under the tyranny of the traffic engineers for about 40 years in San Francisco, where the only purpose of streets is to move traffic, and minimal accommodations are made for not only bikes and pedestrians and public transit, but really the social life of streets. The idea that streets are social space, they're open space, they're green space. And I think what you'll see as we walk up and down the boulevard is taking this boulevard form, kind of a European type of a conception of a street, and that attempt to wed a street that carries lots of traffic with a street that provides a really good quality of life along the edges. Kind of has a really healthy pedestrian realm. So it'll function both as like a skinny neighborhood street and as a big arterial street, and hopefully do both of which successfully. So traffic engineers love simple, but I think urban life is all about the complex. So that's that. If you're interested, TLC and Walk SF are both membership organizations. If you're interested in membership in either group, talk to Rich or myself, because we'd love to have you on board as members and also volunteers and kind of help our cause here. And Robin, you want to say a few words, and we'll.
Okay.
Who are you?
Okay. Well, I'm Robin Levitt, and I live in the neighborhood here. I worked with Tom for many years.
You need to yell.
Can't hear you.
Okay.
Stand on the thing.
Oh, do I have to stand on the thing?
You have to yell or stand on the thing. Careful with both, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I live in the neighborhood here, and I worked with Tom for many, many years, and actually several people in this group, to replace the freeway with this boulevard. Is there anybody here that doesn't remember the freeway? Anybody here? Okay, right here there used to be a double-decked freeway that was built here. And it was torn down about 2 years ago. So And if you want, I'll show you a picture of it. I have it here. It's hard to believe. But anyhow, before we start on the tour, I wanted to mention that there is a design competition for some new housing. As we walk along the boulevard, you'll notice that there's a bunch of skinny parcels of land on the east side of the boulevard and some on the west side, where there's going to be new housing built. There's going to be about 1,000 new units of housing built where the freeway used to be. And there's a design competition that just got kicked off for designing buildings for some of the sites on the boulevard. So if anybody's interested in the design competition, I have some little announcements here. Okay, if there are any architects here or landscape architects or planners or anybody here. Pardon? Half the housing is going to be developed by the San Francisco Redevelopment Agency for affordable housing, and the other half of the parcels will be sold by the city to be developed by private developers. And it's all going to be housing. Pardon?
Okay. So a little
and
bit.
That's, oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
But the sale of this land is what's paying for this boulevard.
Yeah.
I'll just briefly talk about the design idea for the boulevard.
Yeah.
The boulevard, you can see it now, there's where that car just driving, that's going to be two lanes going in the northbound direction. And then they still have to build it, but there will be two lanes going in the southbound direction to connect with the freeway ramp that's coming down right there. And then you'll notice that to the right of where those cars are going, or to the east, there's a little side street. So that side street is going to be more of an, as Tom said, a neighborhood street. That will be a more of a pedestrian, bicycle, neighborhood realm where people can park. There's not going to be any parking on the center lanes, where people can make deliveries and so forth. And the same thing will be happening on this side. So you're going to have two lanes northbound, two lanes southbound for through traffic, and then very narrow side streets on either side. And there will be separated by landscape median. So there's going to be heavily planted, a lot of trees.
It's hard to see right now because that side of the boulevard's done. So as we, you know, it's easier to explain it when we're over there and you see it. But basically, this side will look just like that side.
Yeah.
That there'll be the sidewalks that exist here now will be kind of built back out. There'll be that local traffic lane, another median, then two lanes of traffic. The median that you see out there now will be the center median. So there's another median in between those two. And then right here, there'll be kind of a plaza, because what happens is the boulevard swings out a little bit to meet the ramp coming off. So this curb will bulb way out. With that, why don't we walk on up to Lily Street? We can I'll let Robin be sort of towards the front of the crowd, and I'll be sort of mid-place in the crowd. If you have any questions, you can ask us informally, but then we can be, yeah. Yeah, we do. We've got a set of drawings of the whole boulevard, so. Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't have a projector in that, but when we get up to Hayes Green, what we'd like to do is kind of walk you through the drawings and the design, and then kind of show you in the drawing and show you in real life, so you get a sense of how the whole composition will fit together. All right. So, church is letting out. Why don't we...
Yeah. Oh, if anybody...
Robin went inside, so he'll be back a little bit. He's going to talk about the small trees. We actually passed one of them coming up. We have Rose. This is Lily. They're all named after trees or plants, these little narrow streets, and they're really, as you can see, proper streets. Now, they're not 40 feet wide, which is why the Department of Public Works can't figure out what to do with them. We have really absurd standards, which say a road on an accepted street needs to be 28 feet wide. Which is kind of most of the right-of-way here, and then you need sidewalks on either side of that. So one of the things TLC is doing is working with them on standards for small streets that will, you know, convince them that the city won't burn down unless, you know, if a fire truck can't make a three-point turn on every street and that kind of stuff. So that's certainly a project, and Robin will tell you more about it. A little bit about the neighborhood. People were asking about the blank facades on that side. Before this freeway was built, Octavia Street was a regular 40-foot-wide San Francisco street. It was as wide as Laguna. And so a lot of houses were torn out on that side. The houses you see on this side, that's the original street frontage. This is the original curb for Octavia Street. But that side, you had Octavia Street with the freeway running alongside it. So those houses were all gone. The other thing that you'll notice in this neighborhood is the types of buildings are kind of different over there. And in 1906, the fire stopped at about Octavia Street. There's a great picture of the Fallon Building, which is the building that the community center now has right at the corner of Octavia and Market, and kind of beyond the Fallon Building, just nothing. And that was right after the fire. So this neighborhood is one of the most intact neighborhoods of Victorian and Edwardian houses in San Francisco. This side's much newer. You see there's a lot of these kind of sort of workman's Victorians, which are really cool little houses, tend to have smaller units. They'll try to fit sometimes two units side by side on a 25-foot lot, as opposed to the middle-class Victorians, which is just one house or one flat per per story. The other thing you see is a lot of larger apartment buildings and kind of industrial buildings interspersed in between. The design competition that Robin mentioned was for the lots on the other side. In order to kind of knit this neighborhood back together, one thing that we all realize is very important is to find, you know, buildings for those that'll kind of face out onto the street. Some of those lots are really challenging. Some are only 15 feet wide. Now the good news is they've got light on all three sides, so it's an interesting challenge for an architect. You've got a lot of sun, a lot of light, you know, very little privacy and very little building lot. What else? If we have time, we probably won't have time, but one of the things that happened with redevelopment is that not only were a lot of the cross streets torn out, like Octavia doesn't go through past Grove, but the other thing was all these mid-block alleys were torn out in the redevelopment area. So the blocks all got much bigger with redevelopment. And we see that citywide. If you look at Yerba Buena, they took out all those wonderful little kind of south of Market alleys, assembled huge blocks. And so there have been a lot of fights over the years to kind of preserve these little streets. I remember way back when MoMA and then the W Hotel, which were next to it, kind of wanted to meet, that then Supervisor Hallinan fought for Hunt Lane, which is a tiny little lane. So he almost won, he almost lost. Hunt Lane at this point is about 10 feet wide. It's just the suggestion of a street, but he was able to keep the access through. So fighting for these small blocks, these small streets, is I think really important to preserving the scale of our city and providing a whole variety of environments. So if you think about this, you know, this is a standard San Francisco block. We're in the middle of one. So what you do when you put a little mid-block alley through is you kind of double the street frontage of it. So what you see is these were often the backs of lots. So there'll be a big Victorian on the front or on the main streets, and then there'll be smaller cottages, usually with housing above, on these mid-block alleys. So you get a whole range of scale, get a whole range of different housing types, and you get a real flexibility in terms of the block pattern. Plus you get, you know, more parking. You don't need to build off-street parking because you've got a lot more block space. So there's no reason to have all the garages, although as you see, a lot of the 30s and 40s and 50s buildings that were built offer a wall of garages to the street. The other nice thing is, just a lot more units on a typical block without really changing the scale much.
How is public transportation like to you?
It's quite good. You've got, Muni Metro stop at Church and then one at Van Ness. You've got, as we saw, I think the Haight Street buses were coming on Haight and Page. You got a number of bus routes going that direction.
22 Fillmore. The Haight Street buses.
Yeah. And Venice. No, it's a few blocks. The north-south routes are a few blocks in that direction or that direction. The east-west is very good. So going into downtown, very well served. And of course, it's a great place to bicycle or walk if you work in Civic Center or downtown as well. A lot of people do that.
And it's interesting. If any of you have a chance, I go to the website and look up the Better Neighborhoods Plan, which is a plan that was done for this neighborhood. It's www.betterneighborhoods.org. And some of the things that they're proposing for this neighborhood are really interesting. For example, they're proposing maximum parking requirements here, meaning that you could build a building with no parking. And if you actually go over that amount, if you go over 0.5 spaces per unit or one space per unit, you actually have to get special planning department permission to do that. So It's and also you'll find a lot of history about the freeway and Octavia Boulevard in this plan. So
maybe we can pass those around. They're unfortunately just 11 by 7, or I'm sorry, 8.5 by 11. So hard to show a group this big, but what we can do is just sort of pass them around. We just need to back at the end of the tour.
Yeah.
We have both the plan, and then Robin's got some great before pictures of when the freeway was here, the doubled up freeway. Yeah. Yeah.
But one of the things that this plan calls for these alleys, did you talk a little bit about it? Or no, you mentioned it before.
Just in the broadest concept of why small streets are good, but we'll talk about
But anyhow, there's a concept that was developed actually in the Netherlands called the Woner, which is basically, it means living streets. And the notion is that these alleys here would become public spaces, not just for moving automobiles and storing automobiles, but these streets could be designed in such a way that people could actually sit in the street, play in the street, that it would be a pedestrian, bicycle realm, a realm for neighbors to use as an open space, and cars would be welcome to come here sometimes and park or deliver things or whatever. And there's a whole section in this plan, again, on Woners, but the notion is that all these little alley streets will eventually become Woners. So.
Yeah, and in the European concept, traffic calming, I was just doing some reading about this, it's interesting, it entered English in 1988, as a translation from the German. But in the European context, traffic calming means something very specific, which is the traffic moves at pedestrian speeds, very, very slow. And I think, you know, being Americans, we've debased traffic calming to mean something like it goes from 50 miles per hour to 40 miles per hour. Or, you know, you can, you know, bump the curb out so that as you cross 19th Avenue, you won't always get killed. So I think this is a goal to really do traffic calming on the European scale. As I mentioned, sort of treat it primarily as ped space, almost like a driveway in essence, where cars have permission to go, but they're really kind of do so on their best behavior and at speeds and in an environment kind of geared towards pedestrians rather than, as pedestrians we often feel when we're crossing a street, we're interlopers in the car territory. The other thing that they do with the Woner somewhat is sort of blur the distinction between sidewalk and street, which is a real problem with the way that San Francisco interprets ADA. ADA here is always interpreted as, you know, here's the car zone, here's the pedestrian zone, and they never should meet. In fact, we was debating folks that if you know UN Plaza, Mayor's Office on Disability, there's a driveway that goes through. They want to put a curb and kind of make part of it UN Plaza a road because there's a driveway that's used by federal government delivery vehicles once a week or something. So it's going to be a big, I think, battle, frankly, in San Francisco to put these concepts forward. So Robin's a brave man about that. So with that, why don't we walk up? We'll walk, like as I said, we'll walk past that, you know, so have an eye towards that block with the ramps. That's kind of the big developable site. And then we'll cross Oak and Fell Streets. And then when we hit the corner of Fell and Octavia, then why don't we kind of reconvene? We'll talk about
Hayes and Octavia.
Hayes and Octavia. Oh, all the way up to Hayes. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Let's go up to Hayes.
Can I ask about the larger context? Because this was the Central Freeway was going to be the entrance to the Panhandle Freeway, which thank God never happened.
Right.
And as a result of the Panhandle Freeway not being built, Fell and Oak are major thoroughfares.
Mm-hmm.
And now with the changed circumstances, what can we think about? How can we think about Fell and Oak?
Well, one of the issues in the design of this freeway was it used to, as you said, it was part of a much bigger freeway scheme that was planned. The northern end of it, the part that ended at Turk and Golden Gate, was going to wipe out Polk Gulch and then meet the Embarcadero Freeway up at Fort Mason, which was going to extend along the entire waterfront and then all the way to Doyle Drive in Marin County. And then the Oak and Fell ramps were meant to be the Panhandle Freeway, which was going to meet freeways in Golden Gate Park. There were several freeways were going to converge there, running up the west side of town. So fortunately, that didn't all happen. So what happened was they had stub ends. They were designed as part of a much larger system. So before 1989, you had the Oak and Fell ramps, you had Turk and Golden Gate. So Turk and Golden Gate were carrying some east-west traffic, as were Oak and Fell. Then you had Franklin and Goff, which were fairly well served by those ramps. What they lost in 1989 was the northern end. So what you saw was a lot of the traffic went away, which was good. But the traffic that didn't go away, a lot of what used to be going north and south then started going east and west. So Oak and Fell saw big increases in traffic. what we're hoping with the boulevard going in is you'll be able to use the boulevard to access Franklin and Goff via Oakenfell, just going the other way. So as you get to the corner of Oak, you can you can make left turn on, or you may right turn off. Same thing with Fell. So by restoring a better connection to, you also saw a lot of cut-throughs on Laguna. This is Laguna up here. So people come to the end of the freeway. They'd go along Laguna, which is a great little quiet neighborhood street, zip back on
Hayes or one of the
other streets to get to Franklin and Goff. So this will, you know, not only create a better connection to Franklin and Goff, the other thing that we hope it'll do is they've been using 9th and 10th streets to carry a lot of this traffic while this is gone. So you'll see it on Hayes Street, but the corner of Goff and Hayes is basically they channel all of this freeway traffic that's headed to Fell through the Civic Center on its way. And so there's two very dangerous double left turns there where you can't cross on one side of the street. We're hoping those go away as well. They really cut that whole commercial district in half. So there's a real chance to kind of smooth the traffic out and calm it down.
Let's hold some more general visits to the next stop.
Absolutely. So, okay.
If anything.
Everyone. So welcome to this lovely parking lot. This used to be freeway. So the freeway actually kind of started curving over towards Goff Street here. You saw the block where the Oakenfell ramps kind of peeled off. This was the northern section. The northern section was taken down, meaning north of Fell Street. This section was taken down first, very soon after the earthquake. Perfect.
What happened was the freeway was so badly damaged, and Caltrans actually tried to repair it. And right next to Flippers here, Flippers has a little garden there. And they were trying to repair it, and the freeway actually fell down. Mm-hmm. And almost killed a few people in Flipper's lot there. So they said, I think we better take this thing down. It looks like we're not going to be able to save this thing. So they tore that down about 1991 or 1990. And then we spent the next 10 years debating what to do with this remaining four blocks of the freeway. Okay. And in 1996, Caltrans decided to demolish the top deck of the freeway. The top deck used to come from Oak Street, and you get on the freeway there. So they closed the freeway in September of 1996, and it was closed until April of 1997. And Mayor Brown at that time had talked about maybe just tearing the whole thing down. Well, in the meantime, a group of people on the west side of the city decided to put an initiative on the ballot whether or not to rebuild the freeway. And so that was in 1997, and if you remember, in 1997, the city voted to rebuild the freeway. Then another group of well-meaning citizens, including Tom and myself, decided we can't let this go, and so we collected about 18,000 signatures on a petition, and in 1998, we put an initiative on the ballot that said we want to build the boulevard instead of rebuilding the freeway. So by about 52% to 48% people voted to instead tear down the freeway and build the boulevard. Then in 1999, the people on the west side of the city said, well, this isn't fair. You know, you put an initiative on the ballot to repeal what we passed in 1997.
We deceived everyone.
Yeah, we deceived everyone.
They really didn't know what they were voting on.
Yeah. So they put an initiative on the ballot, Proposition J, to rescind the boulevard and rebuild the freeway. And then we, in turn, put another initiative on the ballot, Proposition I, to reconfirm the vote in 1998 to build the boulevard and build housing. Mm-hmm. So in 1999, it was I on I and nay on J. And J lost and I passed by about 53 to 47%. So here we are.
And that was how Kevin Shelley met Julie Lee, actually,
yes.
Which is another whole story, but, which we won't go into. But, there is karma in this world.
I want to just talk a little bit about Hayes Green for a second, because I think people are a little confused. But this parcel here from Hayes Street to Fell Street is going to be a park. If you can imagine what South Park is like, it's about similar to South Park. It's going to be a very narrow green strip. So there's not going to be any through traffic here in this section here. There will be the side streets where this red car is parked. It's going to be a side street, and then there will be a side street on the other side of Hayes Green. And if you notice, the paving where that car is parked rises up to the level of the curb. The notion is that actually the sidewalks will spill out across these little roadways, and it will. This will become sort of like a pedestrian zone where cars are allowed to park.
It's very common in Europe to bring, it's called a road check or something, where you bring the roadway comes up to the sidewalk level, so drivers know, they feel a slight incline and they tend to stop there. And then the pedestrians, you know, they're a little higher and they feel a little more confident going out. So it's the first example I know of in San Francisco then.
So
I think we're just gonna, so Robin wouldn't let you walk down to the end.
No, that was the woman who is.
All right. Why don't we just walk down? Why don't we walk down to the end? We're just gonna do, you know, half a block of Goff Street, and then come back on Fell Street, meet at that corner again.
It's just open for the garage.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I think, in a way.
This is the Hayes Valley version of the Mission Taco Truck.
So, thank you. This is just an example of what's starting to happen on some of these alleys. I mean, this is an architect's workshop behind there, but someone had the bright idea of saying, well, why don't we just in the garage set up a espresso machine and put a couple of tables out here, and suddenly the street takes on a whole different character. It's becoming more of a community space here where people feel comfortable standing in the street, hanging out, sitting on the street. And you see actually some neighbors on the street have got some chairs out there. So people are starting to take back these spaces here.
Yeah. And this is... lady wasn't happy about that.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. Why are people on the other side of the street?
She's an entitled person.
Yeah.
She probably feel even worse about all the stickers.
Maybe she should put an espresso machine in her truck and just make that.
It's kind of a good example of what's happening on this side of Octavia architecturally too. You can see it's a really different neighborhood character. You've got industrial buildings mixed with old Victorians and Edwardians. We even have a .com boom kind of relic here.
Actually, this is fairly new. This is just...
It was conceived of in the .com boom, but realized recently. You can see Caltrans landscaping here, Algerian ivy and eucalyptus. Familiar to me from my childhood, takes me right back. Over there you can see, again, the eucalyptus. These curving lines of eucalyptus mark where the ramps used to be. And then the touchdown ramp for the Oak Street used to be the on-ramp. You can see the tail end of it there. Here's the last little bit of, as you can see, Hickory Alley on that side. As Robin said, that will hopefully go all the way back through the block in that direction. This alley will run that direction. And a little bit about how these side lanes work. So there's buildings will come out to where the edge of this asphalt is, we hope. If not, they can just park a trailer and sell, like, you know, kind of beer out of it. trees here. There will be, yes. This median out here will be landscaped as well. The original conception had benches out there, which I think is really cool, because not only are benches, like, you know, become, you know, completely, you know, pilloried in San Francisco for attracting crime, but the idea that the pedestrian realm extends all the way out to that median is really, I think, what he was trying to reinforce with the idea of bringing the benches out. So you'll be able to park your car against the curb on this side. And then there'll be a small lane here that will access these buildings. It'll access the small alleys allow people to park. So the idea is a double row of trees and kind of this quieter street in between you and the high traffic street. And that's this double boulevard design. The only other example I can think of that we really have in San Francisco of this is Park Presidio. It's kind of a really blown up suburban scaled version of it. But if you think about, you know, you have the fast lanes going through in the center, a landscape median, then this little side, they're full-size streets, but they look small next to the Park Presidio.
that carries a local traffic.
Sunset Boulevard 2.
Sunset Boulevard 2. So these are kind of attempts to, accommodate, good street life, good quality of life for neighbors with the need to carry big volumes of traffic.
How's this going to differ?
These trees remain?
These will probably go, unless you want to design your building around them. So, my sense is these will go. I think Bridge Housing planted those, the arbutus. And then these are, like I said, these are Caltrans.
Who gets to decide what kind of trees are planted?
I think the trees are already decided upon.
There will be poplars in the center. Then there will be flowering trees on the sidewalk. And then I think it's like plane trees.
Do we have a cross-section?
Yeah.
So the ones in these will be sort of smallish flowering trees, and then kind of larger trees with a bushy crown planted in the near median. Yeah, and then Robin will zip that around. In the center median, poplars, very vertical, fast-growing trees will be in the center.
We're all on now. And you really get a sense, before when the freeway was here, the neighborhood was all divided up. There's a wall between this side and this side, and there was also a wall that came across here. So this part of the neighborhood was separate from that part of the neighborhood. And now when you stand up, for example, at the crest of the hill there on Main Street, you really get a sense of the neighborhood being connected again. It really is, I can't tell you how much different it feels.
And so ends the MP3 of our tour. I'm not a professional, obviously. I'm not into... I did the best I could editing that thing down, getting an hour and a half down to almost 2 hours down to 30 minutes. And it doesn't exactly follow a narrative, but it gets the message across. So anyway, I would urge everyone to join Walk San Francisco and the San Francisco Bike Coalition, who were also instrumental in getting the whole thing off the ground. And one of the reasons they were instrumental was because they're both very strong organizations in this town. And the reason for that is because they're the people that get out, and they're not stuck in their cars, they're not stuck in their houses. They're the people out on the streets. And, when you ride your bike around town here in San Francisco, at least, and probably in your town too, you sort of see the same people every day, and you feel a sense of community. Some people you even say hi to. It's kind of great, actually. It's kind of a big impersonal city. It's a beautiful European-sized town, and it's better than it's the best city in the country, as far as I'm concerned. As far as being able to get out, and I think maybe surpassed only by Manhattan in New York City, where people are always on the street. But as far as community goes, you really notice it when you're on your bike, and. I think it's up to us, to bicyclists, to bring this feeling to the rest of the city. And I think that Octavia Boulevard is the way to go, because it's going to bring people out onto the street, into a public square, into a park, and out of their cars, out of the isolation of their cars. So you remember the car critical mass a few years ago? Some drivers thought that they weren't really getting enough attention from City Hall like the bicyclists were and the pedestrians, and they decided to have a car critical mass, and it disintegrated into nothing. Nobody even knew there was any kind of mass going on. It was pretty comical, really. Anyway, it's up to us to change the future, and I want to leave you all as inspired as I am by the zeal and the zealousness and the tenacity of these two heroes, who brought down the freeway and put a community in its place. Thanks a lot. Goodbye. Oh, and please send emails to bikescape@sbcglobal.net. I'd love to hear your opinion. Or you can leave a message over at bikescape.blogspot.com, where the blog is, and you can refer your friends to it too. Thanks and bye.